Hello everybody, this is DJ Cobalt 60, aka Old Blood and Guts. I'm very pleased and honored to welcome my guest today, Natasha 007. She's one of my favorite artists and an extremely talented model and photographer. Some people also call her Quadzilla. Some other people also refer to her as the real life version of the girl with the dragon tattoo. I personally believe she's amazing at what she does, and she has a body that looks like it was sketched by Franz Frazetta. I please like to welcome her to the show.
Wow, that was a really wonderful intro. Thank you very, very much. I want to say thank you for having me back. I enjoyed the first interview, and I appreciate a secondary interview. And also, I would like to say congratulations to you for breaking away from something that you felt was censorship towards the direction that you were choosing to go. I find that very admirable, and I don't think enough people do that. So congratulations, and I appreciate your direction.
Well, thank you. I mean, that means a lot to hear that from you. And I think that would be, I think censorship would be a good place just to start. Because what I want to ask you is, because I've kind of seen it from interviewing models, that there tends to be like, there's this category of tattoo models, and then models, and then just happen to have tattoos. And I was wondering, for you, was ever something you had to worry about? Or how do you think that happens to a model that they get to that? Because honestly, it's kind of bad, but when I hear tattoo model, I normally think really bad photography. Now, that's not on the girl's part, because typically most tattoo models aren't agency standard, and typically more like glamour models, but they tend to be in publications. I almost feel like it's like exploitation cinema, where it's just like, okay, you have a girl with tattoos, let's just take the pictures. It doesn't really matter if it's art or not. I was just wondering for yourself how that kind of happened, or you ever felt that, oh, I might get placed in this, like, sort of, like, subgenre or something of modeling?
I think that's an interesting question, actually. When I began, it was my goal to never be typed as one thing or another. If somebody chose to view me as a certain characteristic or something specific, that was their choice. It was my choice, however, to go whatever directions I wanted to. And I didn't want to focus on any one thing or another. The tattoos that I have are, as I view them, simply art placed on my body. I don't wear a lot of jewelry, and I never really have. I had always wanted some kind of an adornment, however. And in addition to that, the tattoo speaks about personal triumphs, personal issues. So between those two things, that was the reason for getting my tattoo. And I felt like it was really important in the beginning to not focus on the tattoo, because it's simply just something that's on my skin. To me, it was more important to create lines and emotion and mood and texture and all of these things that are inclusive of, to me, an interesting image. So that was the goal. If the tattoo happened to work well within the image in terms of the texture or the design or the mood, then I would put that in as a focus in the image. But if you notice, a lot of my images, they don't tend to focus on the tattoo work. They tend to focus more on mood or style or a different kind of a genre. And so I can't speak for other people in terms of how their tattoos may or may not have affected them in working with other people. I can only speak for myself and say that my tattoos are personal to me, and that I have never felt them to be a focus because they are so personal, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I think it does speak to the rest of your work, because I always feel that you always walk this really fine line between, like, either it's like androgyny or it's, I would say, like, sensuality versus, I mean, there's always like, you never, I want to say, like, it works really subtle. Sometimes it can be loud, but I don't think it's like really loud. I think there's always, it's always very, I would say it's always very refined.
Thank you.
And it's that to me is really interesting that you can strike, that you strike that balance. And I was just wondering, like, because, I mean, perception, ultimately, because you, I mean, you do model, you're also a photographer yourself. Perception is everything to a photographer, because that's what separates one photographer from the other. How do you feel, like, where do you think you're at right now as an artist as far as your vision goes? I mean, do you think you know what it is? Are you still searching for it? Has it changed that much for you? Like, I mean, is your work therapeutic for you, or does it just boil down to, that looks really cool, so that's what I want to shoot?
I have always been both very masculine and very feminine. As a kid, I was the ultimate tomboy. I mean, I run around with young boys. Those were my friends. I had very few girlfriends. So that part has always been very solid and thorough in me. And I think that's why it's evident in the photos, is that as much as I was a girl in a dress occasionally, I was the girl in the dress climbing trees. So it's like I was always doing slightly inappropriate things that a young lady would be asked to do. I often would take off my shirt with the boys, thinking that that was normal, you know, these kinds of things. And that was just natural for me as a kid to be one of the boys. And that's never really changed. That's that part of the confident, fine line of masculine and feminine. It just is. It's not anything that I focus on. It's just simply who I am. And then speaking in terms of my photography, the direction, or do I feel like I'm at the place where I want to be, or am I still searching? I'm exactly where I want to be. I'm not a tortured artist. I explore and play and create. I delve into my curiosities. I'm not shy about what I'm doing. But then again, the thing that's different a little bit about being a self-portrait artist is that I'm not only the photographer, but I'm obviously the subject. So it's a little bit of a dual-fold thing in that being parts of each, being the subject and the photographer, it's sort of, I don't know how you want to say it, as an artist, it sort of splays me out a little bit more, I think. It's a dual-fold thing where I am twice as vulnerable. If you could use the word vulnerable, I'm twice as exposed. I guess that's a better expression. I'm twice as exposed because it's not just a photograph, but it's also me as a subject. And that is also what I like about it. That's exactly what I like about it.
I first want to ask you about, because you brought up your self-portrait work, which I like a lot. But the very first thing I want to ask you is, because I've talked to some photographers, do you actually use a timer? Or like, I mean, do you actually have like, do you physically actually click, or do you just dab? Because I've heard some photographers that consider it kind of cheating, even though if you position the camera, you saw somebody come up and like take the picture.
There is never anybody in the room when I'm working. It's a very rare thing that somebody is viewing what I'm doing. It's a very private thing for me. It's sort of like how a scientist will go into a lab for 2 weeks, disappear, and then come back out with a solution. That's how I feel about it. I get involved in the photography, and I can sometimes be doing it for anywhere between 4 and 6 hours in one time frame. Because as I'm working, I'm seeing new things, and I'm changing, and I'm modifying, and that's the joy of it. In addition, I like to do some visual narratives, so I have a little bit of a mini storyboard in my head, and I have to fulfill these different kinds of images to create this accurate storyboard. So I have all of those sort of things that are going on my head whenever I'm shooting. But there's never anybody in the room whenever I'm doing it. I mean, I can think maybe one time. and I like it that way. That's my preference. Do I use a timer, or do I use a remote, or I've used all of them. I experiment with different things because I find that different ways to actually make the shutter snap create a different possibility. So I've played with a lot of different stuff, and I've even played with a lot of cell phone things, and the cell phone has a timer, obviously, and the camera has a timer, and it also has a remote, and I have lots of different things that I can do. So it just depends on, I guess, the scene, what kinds of hand availability I need, and all of those types of things that would determine how I would actually snap the picture.
What I want to ask you right now is, because, I mean, when you're doing self-portrait work, you kind of, I mean, you can take full credit for the photo pretty much, because it's all you. You're the one that's shaping everything. I'm assuming you're also the one, if there's any editing that has to be done, you're also going to be the one that's doing the editing and everything. What made you want to go back to, because like right now you are going back, you're going to start working with other photographers again. What made you want to do that? Do you think, I mean, was it kind of like you just want to spice things up again, or was it just like, okay, I know what I can bring. I want to see what happens when I go with somebody else and what they can bring, kind of thing. I mean, what do you think photographers bring out of you that you can on your own?
Well, I'll say first, the editing, currently I am editing all my own photos, but there was a period of time where I've worked with an editor, and that was Michael Edmonds, and he's a fantastic editor. And that was a collaboration that was named Blackout. And you will see many of those images if you go to the website. And all of those Blackout images were taken by me, their self-portraiture that was edited by Michael Edmonds. So that is that section. Now I'm currently editing my own images. And it can be a little challenging sometimes because I can't say that it's my forte, but I do enjoy the learning process. What do other photographers bring out in me that I can't bring out in myself? I would say probably, how do I say this best? A lack of ability to control the environment. I would say working with a photographer allows me a different kind of complete freedom to where I can just be a subject as opposed to thinking about the composition of the image and the style setup and all of these different kinds of things in addition to just being the subject. So yeah, I think it'll allow a little bit of freedom in that respect. But it's also, I'll be honest, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. I feel a bit strange at times as though I'm betraying myself with my self-portraiture. The self-portraiture has been solid for a little over 2 years. It's all that I have done. I have made a complete focus in self-portraiture, and that was my goal, and I've done it. And I'm very happy with that. And I'm working to sit for other photographers simply because I feel like it's time. I feel like it's time that I explore that again. I feel like it's time that I collaborate with other people and that I just get out and about. So this coming winter, I will be going to Europe, and I have plans to work with a couple of photographers while I'm in Europe, and I'm very much looking forward to that.
Have you ever worked with photographers in Europe before?
No, this will be the first time. I have worked with photographers from Europe who have come here, but I have never gone to Europe to work with a photographer. And I was taking a long trip, and I thought that I could just fit some of it in. It would be advantageous to not only do some travel for myself, but also to explore some creativity with some photographer friends that I have established very close connections with. So it should be a really, really curious and exciting time, I think.
Have you ever done the like kind of like I'm gonna go travel and model at the same time kind of thing before?
To degrees. I've never done any kind of a tour like some of the girls do, but I've gone, you know, to Vegas, and I went to New York, and I've gone to California a number of times. So yeah, it popped here and there, but it was never any kind of an actual scheduled tour. They were just people that I liked the work of, and I made an attempt to go forth and work with them from a distance.
Do you think you could do like one of those tour things, or do you think you wouldn't even? That's not something you would like to be that far away from home for that long. Because, I mean, sometimes they'll do it and be like 3 months. I mean, do you think that would be something you're at least... I mean, you kind of are kind of doing one right now. I know there are some girls that just straight up, they're just shooting the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, would that be something you're interested in at least trying?
Sure. You know, I'm always open to everything in that respect. If it feels like it's the direction that's magnetized me at that moment, I'll investigate it, and I'll sit and muddle in it for a while with thought. And then if it feels right, I'll go for it. I very rarely will stop myself from going for something that looks interesting or fun or it might be advantageous.
I mean, talking about stopping yourself or not doing something, what I want to ask you is, when it comes to your own work, where do you kind of set the limits for yourself or how far you want to push yourself or not push yourself? I mean, I'm just going to say, like, anybody goes and checks out your work, which I like a lot. I mean, there is, some of the photos are a little bit more, I won't say explicit, but they're a little bit more daring than some other photos. And I do like your work because there's a range there. And like I said, it's kind of loud, but it's not like super loud. I mean, when for you did you say, okay, this is what I'm going to push myself, this is not what I'm going to push myself? Because at the end of the day, I mean, you could even still like other art that's extremely explicit, but that's just not the art for you. And when you do talk to a photographer, like, what's kind of like, especially when you go and work with a photographer, what kind of dialogue do you like to set up with that photographer prior to the shoot?
Sure. Pushing myself, are you speaking in terms of emotive direction or sexual direction? I mean, what direction, to clarify the question?
Well, both in terms of just how far you're willing, because I want to bring it up with modeling, because there's kind of been an issue recently. I don't know if you've seen it, like on Tumblr and stuff, certain photographers. Now it's a different thing, but because if you take it like, okay, this is a photographer, this is a model, he's kind of like your director. Kind of. Mm-hmm. It's like a film. There's certain directors that, I'll be straight up with you, I'm not even admit, they're just assholes on set because they want to get a certain performance from you. In that regard, like how difficult, like for you, do you like to work under a situation that maybe might be a little bit more difficult? Now, again, it's got to work like a very fine line in terms of just like, I'm not just straight up being mean to you, but I'm gonna put pressure on you. Mm-hmm. We got an amount of time, the sun's going down. I might yell at you, but it's because I want to get the good picture. Kind of like, yeah, like that. That's what I want to ask you first, like in terms of what you want from the set. I've also heard from other photographers, they just like to have like a calm set, and the least direction I have to do, as far as the girl can just do whatever she does, the better the photos come out.
I'll address that from both angles, I guess, from my self-portraiture. You know, I can go into it in any variety of directions. Sometimes I have a very solid idea in what I want, and there's a very thick psychological aspect to it. And sometimes it's a very loose-ended thing, and I just go in, and whatever flow happens during that period of time, I go with that. Working with other photographers, the dialogue that I would set up prior to working with other photographers is just point-blank communication, expectations between both people, what each person is comfortable, what each person really wants. I mean, what you're looking for as the final product. And really, more than anything, I think it requires an ability to be open and go with the flow. I think when I've seen a lot of frustration among peers is when there were set thought ideas and they didn't come out the way that they had anticipated. The final product wasn't the way that they had anticipated, and that was very frustrating for a lot of people, including myself a time or two. And I've never had anybody necessarily push me, because I'm a fairly intense person, so I've never really had that as a requirement. What I have had is a lot of photographers who have wanted to soften me. That's been the really funny part. So I've done that a few times, and I am also a soft subject as much as I am an intense one. You know, I get a lot of commentary about my self-portraiture that it is predominantly intense, that there is very little softness. And I don't know. I think when you go and you really look at some of the imagery, there's a lot going on in some of them, and they're is a pointed focus in some directions, you know, and I kind of equate it to music at times. You know, some of the images are AC/DC, and some of the images are the Carpenters. Like, I mean, seriously. So that's the reality of it, you know, and there's anything in between. And music and style genres, those all kind of have their parts in that inspiration of that photo that I'm doing too. But working with other photographers, no, I think as a person who likes to create, it's very fun and easy for me to work with other people because they bring ideas, I bring ideas, and that's the joy of it, honestly.
I mean, because you did bring up expectations, what do you feel a model should expect from the photographer? And what should a photographer expect from the model? I mean, you think some girls sometimes, or I mean, I don't want to just leave as girls, some models sometimes just walk into a shoot and not really know what they're actually supposed to be doing or what it is. Because, I mean, there are certain models that do like to have a say in it, and there's other ones that are just completely just tell me where we're there and let's get the photo done with. I mean, do you think, like, especially if they've never actually shot with photographers, like, what should they be expecting when they come on set?
I think the expectation should be nothing more than what was communicated. So I guess in that I'm trying to say, if you don't communicate properly, your expectations are probably going to be a bit disappointed or deflated, you know? It's all about communication. And being creatives, you know, if there's two people that are creatives, they can be vastly different definitions for words. So, you know, you can be saying something like, emotive, and one person can think one thing and another person can think another. So it is really about very specific communication. And, you know, I've worked with photographers before who had a really great idea of doing what are called mood boards or idea boards. And they basically will take images from other photographers that they've liked, or things like colors and pictures of rooms and anything that might create an inspiration for a mood and a feeling. And then they will lay that out and say, this is how I feel about this. This is what I want. And I found that those were sometimes the most effective because it wasn't just communicated verbally. It was a visual communication also. And for, I think, creatives, having a visual communication, it really can help key in, lock in a little bit better what two people are trying to accomplish at the same time.
Well, the first thing when you brought that up, what I do want to say is, because what I really like about your photos, I mean, I think any good photography in general is, I'm not supposed to be able to put it into words. It's just, it has to be the image. I can talk about it, but then they have to actually see the image to kind of just get what you're going for. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, have you ever had any difficulties with yourself? I mean, like, how much, where do you, because you talk about expectations, where do you start to give the, when should a model start to give the photographer, like, trust in that, okay, I might try something a little bit crazy right now, but we're all on the same page and stuff like that.
Whenever there's comfort and that person feels ready. I mean, it's an individual case-by-case thing. And for each person, each subject, each model is going to have a different experience with each photographer, and likewise with other models. I mean, each person that you interact with, it's going to be a totally new experience. And I think being a good read of people and also being really easygoing towards different personalities and going with the flow, that those things help immensely in any job, not just in modeling photography. Those things help in any job.
When are you most satisfied with your work, and where do you feel has been sort of like your best work so far, or kind of like the work that if somebody was just like, what's a Natasha 007 picture? Like, this is a Natasha 007 picture.
You know, I'm honestly satisfied with all the work. If I don't like it, it doesn't go out there. I've also got thousands and thousands of pictures I've never even edited. I'm constantly shooting. So there are things sitting in the computer that I'll go through and, oh, this strikes a chord right now, and I'll begin to edit that. And so I'm happy in that. I feel very satisfied with the work as a whole. There are maybe one or two sessions that come to mind that were just a complete disaster as I was doing them. And I just got up and walked away. It's like, this is not working. I'm not forcing it. So, the quintessential ones, oh gosh, some of them were really early on. Like, there was a visual narrative series called Shaken and Stirred. I feel like that is still one that speaks very accurately to who I am as a person in terms of how I like to express myself creatively. What you'll see in the images is that very rarely are they really me. They have the essence of me always, because I'm the fundamental part of the image. But there are all of these other things that come into play. Like I said, there's music influences, there's style influences, there's influences of people that I knew in my past, influences of interesting celebrities. You know, all of these things come in and they all mold together to create one thing. So Shaken and Stirred had that feeling for me. There was another series that I did where I actually involved another person, and I liked that one a lot. That was called Inconvenient Conveniences. And that is about basically a dysfunctional relationship where two people are holding on to this dysfunctional relationship, just going through the motions. And that is probably one of my favorite visual narratives that I've done because I like the storyline of it. But I like individual images. I like doing what are called diptychs, you know, side-by-side images that give more of a... they round out a story a little bit in one image. And I also like visual narratives where there's anywhere between 4 and 7 images that tell a whole story.
I'll kind of agree with that, because that's where I feel, especially like with the self-portrait work and stuff, that's where I kind of feel like I don't see anybody else doing that, and at least... to that
nice.
Kind of quality. So that's kind of like where I think of, because like I do, like those, you do what you're supposed to do, because like I remember those images because they were kind of like all stuck together.
Awesome.
And they do kind of like, maybe I might not remember the whole placement of everything, but I remember the gist of it, and I remember most is just the mood of it.
Correct. That's the goal. That's really the goal. Yeah. Is that when you get done looking at it, you think to yourself, perhaps not filling in the pieces necessarily to what the story was about, but more that I always like to think of it in terms of a punch in the face. You know, when I get an image that I really, really like, that's how I describe it. It's a visual punch in the face. And it's not it's not for shock value. It's not for intimidation. It's not for intensity. That's the indescribable part about it, but that's the best description I've come up with, is the visual punch in the face, where you're looking at it, it's like, bam! Those are my favorites.
Well, I want to ask you, because, I mean, you did bring up that, I mean, you kind of are playing a role and stuff. So when people are looking at your work, are you just projecting an image that you might have beauty, or are you projecting, like, do you think the person that you're projecting, do you even know, I mean, because you kind of did bring up that it is coming from your past and stuff, but are you projecting somebody that, because I'll ask this to photographers, like, do you try to bring out who the model is, or do you try to make them bring out a side of them that they don't even see?
That's an excellent question. I like that question. In my opinion, the best photographers elevate the model. They can take a very normal, average person and make you so curious about them that it heightens itself to an entertainer or an artist in their own right. I think those are the most interesting. I mean, street photography. That's why sometimes street photography is so great. You just get average people that are just fascinating looking. And so those are the things that I appreciate about that aspect.
With your own photography, have you explored like any street? Because you did bring up that you don't put up all the images and stuff. So are you the type of person that always brings a camera with you everywhere you go? I mean, mm-hmm. Are you constantly mm-hmm. taking pictures, and how much of those pictures? I mean, how much of your work do you think you've actually shown people? Like, have people actually seen?
Oh gosh, unseen work. I would say I probably have 30% unseen work. The rest of it is seen. Sometimes it's been seen in galleries, mostly online. And the exposure is really fun, but for me, mostly it's just the ability to be able to constantly create. And then, like I say, I get the creation out of my system because it's so much fun. And then later I'll go back and I'll do the work, what I refer to as the work, the editing and the layout and all that kind of stuff. But the shooting itself part is actually, that's the exciting, fun part for me. It's what I enjoy.
When it comes to the editing process, what's kind of your approach to the editing process? Because there are some photographers that flat out don't edit anything. It's the picture, that's the picture. There's other ones that they pretty much just spend a huge amount of their time in the editing, they kind of feel like their identity is in the editing. Mm-hmm. What does editing kind of do for you?
I'm kind of in both places with that. Sometimes I like to get the shot correct in frame whenever I'm shooting. But oftentimes whenever I'm done, I'll look back and I'll think, oh, well, that one is actually better, so that one will require more of a crop or these kinds of things, you know. And so the editing happens both before, in terms of if I have a visual narrative that I know of, my mental storyboard, as I've said, during, I'm working on the mental storyboard and I'm getting those shots, or I'm getting that image that I feel like displays that style, genre, or that feel I want. And then after, yeah, the editing, then if, say, it's something that has maybe a 70s feel, maybe it has more orangey yellow tones to it, these kinds of things that fit more of a 70s feel for that mood in that image. So I would say editing plays a huge role. It's through the whole process. It's always through the whole process.
How do you feel photography's helped you as a model and vice versa? Is it something you would say every model should just go pick up a camera? Because I've also heard, like, either also photographers say, even for them to put themselves in front of the camera, even, like, even if the pictures suck or whatever, just so you get the experience. And do you think, because there tends to be very few people, I'm going to use a movie example, but I think people will be able to, like, catch on to it more, where for example, there's certain writer, pretty much the case for every writer director is they can be great writer directors and they can be a great writer or like a really great director, but they typically tend to be better at one thing or the other. Like Paul Schrader, who wrote Taxi Driver, he also directs, way better writer than he's a director. Just the fact that I say he's a bad director, but he's a way better writer than he's a director. And then you'll have somebody like John Huston, who's a way better director than he was a writer. But that's just the fact. For you, when it comes to that, I mean, do you feel you have a strong suit in one more than the other? And are you ever a little bit hesitant to tell people that you kind of do both, or you might do both just to see how they perceive your work then? Like, have you ever noticed that people change if they find out the fact? It's like, oh, she also models, or oh, she's also a photographer. Versus if you just say, oh, I'm just a photographer.
Well, I will say this, that given the nature of what I photograph myself, being self-portraiture, there is a lot of there's a lot of thought processes people have about that. The biggest, most common misconception for me, anyway, is that it's a narcissistic act. It's not that at all. It's mostly that I really, I'll explain it as this. When I was a kid, this is how I've always told people. When I was a kid, I played youthful games of adult responsibility. So by that, I mean, I grew up in the country. I had very little to do. I would create a grocery store. And in that grocery store, I would make all the products. I would do the labels for the products, and I create the products. I put them on the shelves. I was the stalker. I was the person that checked out somebody, so I was the cashier. I was the shopper. I was the boxer. I wore every hat within that store. And what I found was it wasn't about control. It was more that I liked all these different aspects at the same time. And if somebody were to have come to me in the middle of my play and said, oh, no, you can't do that. You can only pick one. I would have said, then I don't want to do it. Because I like this, and I like that, and I like this, and I want to play in all of them. I don't want to just choose one. So I think in saying that, I like to have my hands in everything. And when I'm doing it, it's always with the most well-intended efforts to do it with not only integrity, but with a kind of a legitimate quality, legitimate in terms of the industry kind of standards. And that's where I like to lay. I like to have sort of a legitimate quality that people respect. And I like to dabble in all aspects of it.
What kind of direction do you see yourself heading in terms of, because I know right now you are kind of like, you're going over to Europe, you're going to go shoot again with photographers. I mean, does it even feel like you even took a break right now to go and shoot with photographers again because you have been shooting yourself? Or do you think it's something that, because you did bring up nervousness, are you a little bit nervous to get back in it again? Or have you been shooting for other photographers?
No, for 2 years it's been just me. Am I a little nervous? I wouldn't say I'm nervous because the people that I chose to work with, I trust highly and I love their work. So I can't say that I'm necessarily nervous. It's more... it'll be a little bit of an adjustment, but it'll be a fun adjustment. And it won't even be that much of a tweak. It's sort of like riding a bike, you know? I mean, that's going to be the exciting part, is being able to do what I once did that I stepped away from. It'll be sort of like meeting an old friend or going to an old haunting place, you know? Those kinds of feelings. You get to go back and it feels nice. And what do I expect to develop from this? You know, I'm just kind of curious to see what kinds of networking opportunities might come out of it and what kinds of connections I might make. Right now, I'm at a part of my life where, as I've described it to people, I am throwing out shoots without growing roots. So I'm throwing out lots of different shoots, making connections, and just waiting to kind of see what things feel the best to take hold.
Well, I kind of want to shift things and just talk about, like, marketing yourself. Mm-hmm. How did, I mean, because I especially, like, if, like, a mom's listening and stuff, what do you feel is kind of, like, at least for you, been successful for marketing yourself? I know you've even started, I think you might be the only mom I've ever interviewed that has, like, her own trading cards and stuff. But I know you also did, like, t-shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that stuff I actually really like, because, I mean, there's a couple models I know who do it. Mm-hmm. But they normally, if, like, they choose, like a photo that's really hot, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice way to support them, especially because, I mean, with this profession, it's kind of, it does get kind of hard, especially for freelancing it, mm-hmm. to be making revenue. So what do you feel has kind of been a good way, at least for you, to market yourself and to get to make contacts?
All of those things came out of a sense of playing, really. The trading cards were play. The t-shirts were a suggestion from a friend of mine. He wanted to have some t-shirts for an event that he was going to in order to promote my work. And I thought that it was a really interesting concept, so I went for it. And the t-shirts ended up coming out really nice. I was very pleased with them. Those were the first that I've done. And I'll probably end up doing some more. I have a mindset to do maybe some custom t-shirts. We'll see about that. And the marketing stuff is just mostly an opportunity to play in other types of mediums and promote the work. That's really all it is. It's just goofing around. So really the trading cards, an idea of a trading card always seems so damn fun to me. And I thought that would just be so fun to do characterized trading cards. But it's all me. It's all self-portraiture. And that clicked in my head. I really liked that feeling. And then, like I said, the t-shirts were for a friend. And I've been recently doing some sound bites, some different kinds of sound bites that I'm going to be adding to visual narratives. So Shaken and Stirred, the one visual narrative that I mentioned a while back, it also has a soundbite. It's got a story to it. I can't remember where you can find that. I may have taken that down, but it also has a story. And I like the idea of putting sound with images. And not just sound, but incorporating a story to kind of back up the visual narrative.
With your work... I'll give you an example because you did talk about that. Like, I mean, you still go back and you edit all your stuff. One photographer, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's an amazing photographer. He was an amazing photographer. Saul Leiter, mm-hmm. who had, I mean, he didn't even go through all of his stuff. I mean, they're still going through his stuff. Mm-hmm. So because to me, photography is this interesting sort of medium, especially, I mean, for both the model and the photographer, because for the model, it's a little weird because they do have their portfolio, but then they have like all their images everywhere. It kind of just comes back to the fact that like, I don't think there's going to be a single person that's seeing all your images. Yeah. Same thing like with a photographer, because like photographers, they're kind of like painters. Mm-hmm. Like, they have tons of paintings and mm-hmm. they never even finish them and all that. So for you, when it comes to kind of just compiling everything, and I mean, do you think that by the time you're done, people will have seen your best work, or do you not even do that? I mean, is it more for you? Like the example I would use would be because there's like, films and there's like television. There's a really good writer, Tom Fantano, who did Oz, and then he also did Homicide: Life on the Street. Mm-hmm. Like showrunners for those things. He also did this one show, I don't know if you ever saw it, called Saint Elsewhere.
Yes.
And he talks about Saint Elsewhere, but he even talks about the fact that like TV, it's really like it's there and then it's just gone in the ether and it's kind of like just gone forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you can go back, but you can tell people like. Hey, if you guys want to watch St. Elsewhere, go for it. I wouldn't particularly say, like, go watch it, because, like, there's a bunch of better TV shows. Because, like, with movies, it's kind of like they have that whole statement, that whole 2 hours is, like, their thing. Mm-hmm. But with TV, there's, like, so much of it's, like, every week, and it kind of becomes, like... Because he'll even talk, like, no, there's some episodes, and then I learned certain things, and it was great for the time, and we did things mm-hmm. then that now people can work off of. So for you, I mean, what... Do you ever feel, because ultimately, because I hear a lot from artists, it's all about like legacy and stuff like sure. that. For you, what is it? Is it just, I made it and that's enough? Or does it go any, like is it any deeper than that?
Really, how I sort of look at it is, if you were to just look at maybe 5 images of mine, just 5 images, it tells you very little about what I do. It gives you a sense, but it tells you very little about the big picture. The real, for me, the real interest is when you look at the entire body of work. That's when you get the full picture. And I suppose it's like what you were talking about with a TV show. You know, you have a series. You can develop so much more in a series, perhaps, than you can in a 2-hour period. You know, you can get a great deal of development in a 2-hour period, but this is continual. And it also has breaks in between to give you time to think about it. And I think that's kind of interesting, too. So that the next week you've thought about the last week and you're going to watch this new episode. And it lives in your life with you, as opposed to a 2-hour period was 2 hours and then it was done. And you can think about it here and there, but it's not so frequent in your life as a series is. So for me, I think the most interesting part about my work is looking at it as a general whole. Do I look for a legacy? No, I'm just making images, and I'm making images that I like. If I have people that decide that I've created something that is noteworthy, that's great. I'm very satisfied by that then. But for me, it's just a matter of creating, and whatever happens through that creation, it happens.
Does it blow your mind that you're actually liking galleries and stuff then?
Yeah, actually, it was really a surprise in the beginning to understand that people were interested in having the work in shows. Honestly, it was a surprise every time. That was the fun of it, was never the expectation of getting in. It was always a, well, let's just play it and see. You know, in my head, half the time I thought, I have no business doing this. But it didn't stop me from doing it. I did it anyway. And that's really where a lot of the pleasure came from, with these little surprises of, oh my gosh, I got into that show. That's so fun. But I would take exposure in any sense. So the galleries was just sort of what fit at the time. And I haven't done galleries for a little while, simply because there is an expenditure in gallery work. You know, you have to have things printed and framed. And I just wanted to cut back on some of the expenditure and just solidly create for a little while. And also in the process, I've been doing some other things. Like I said, the sound bites. And then I've also created some dioramas, little sculptural type things. And those are things that nobody's ever seen yet. So I'm constantly doing things. Not always is it self-portraiture, but generally it is always sort of a solo act.
What's one thing every photographer should be able to do? Like, if you're going to say, okay, you want to separate yourself from just the guy with the camera, what would you say, like, every photographer, especially if you want to be doing it professionally, you should be able to do that?
I'll say two things. One of them sort of goes without saying. I think that you should be able to take self-portraits. I think that you as a person should be able to sit in front of a camera and see what it feels like to have your own picture taken by yourself. And I think it's an interesting learning process just in of itself. The other thing that I think that a photographer should learn or know, flexibility. Definitely flexibility. Do not be so rigid within your thought processes that you can't experiment, play, explore, go beyond something that you thought was inaccurate or shouldn't be done. That's how new processes happen, new images, new feelings. That's how they develop.
How do you feel about, because there's this, I'm sure you know who Terry Richardson is, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of photographers that kind of bite his style. Mm-hmm. And that's all well and good if you can kind of like match it and stuff. But like they try to take pictures of models that look like they don't give a shit. But by making it look like that, it seems even faker to me. Because like I know she's trying not to look like she cares. So like, I mean, when you're trying to go for something like that kind of look, because then there's other photographers that just don't care and they just like pretty much just let the models play. And then that's where we kind of get the photos and stuff. I mean, when it comes to stuff like that, like just going for a specific look, I mean, for you, is it about, okay, I'm going to try my hardest to make that look, or is it just like, let's try that look. Okay, you know what, that didn't fit for us, let's go with something else. Like, how flexible are you on set, or do you try to go, okay, let's try to get that look. Okay, going at it this way didn't work, so let's go at it another way.
I'm incredibly flexible. One of the things that when I started working with photographers that I noticed and that I had several conversations with photographers about was an inability to be flexible. And it would often make me chuckle when people would get wrapped up in something. Say a light wasn't working properly and that light simply had to work properly. And then what you notice is that the energy of the shoot changes and it doesn't, it turns from having a fun, collaborative, creative experience to one of a sort of a kink in a hose, a frustration, you know, like that becomes the focus, how that light is no longer working. So at that point, I would say to the photographers, let's just drop it. Let's just try something else. And that I learned that early on, mostly I think because in my own dealings in film, I would try to get something so specifically, and if it didn't come out, I would feel deflated with the experience. And I don't think that's the essence of the reason for the experience. I think the essence for the reason of experience is whatever you come away from And that requires flexibility in my mind, not to be so steadfast held to one thought process or an idea. However, when you're doing commercial work, you have to keep that in mind. It has to be what the client wants. But I think that it's important to maintain a flexibility within those parameters for the client. So say, for example, if the light outside isn't working, perhaps it's too bright, you know, you maybe find a newer location with softer light, maybe 50 feet away. So even those small things can make an incredible difference. And there have been points in my own situations where I'm doing self-portraiture where things just, those situations I told you about, one or two situations, they just simply didn't work no matter what I was doing. And I kept trying to change and modify to fit that moment or that frustration or that issue, forcing these images to happen. And then about three quarters of the way through, I would say, wait a minute, let's just be done. Let's just be done. It's not working today. Come back to it tomorrow. And invariably that works, because forcing it to force it to force it, it just became a deflating experience. So I would just quit, maybe come back to it an hour, 15 minutes sometimes makes all the difference. But I think that flexibility is the key for any photographer.
Now, this is something, I mean, because I've interviewed a couple photographers who have kind of been like, first thing I did was like, I went, got my camera, started taking pictures, then I learned everything I could, and then I realized I didn't need any of it. I just need, like, the camera and the model. Like, because I've heard, like, a lot of photographers when I ask them about their setup are like, well, and that's not to knock anybody because, like, Mark Weber has a crazy setup. But that's the style. That's the thing a lot of people don't ever get to play. Like, that's kind of like saying, like, I'm going to be Steven Spielberg. Well, Steven Spielberg. But when you get to your own thing, I mean, like, did that ever, I mean, for you, did you get to a point where you're just like, you know what, forget bringing, like, needing an assistant or bringing extra flash or like lights and stuff, I'm not going to use it. Cause I've heard a lot of photographers just be like, at least the ones that I like, they're like, nah, I just tend to use natural lighting. Cause mm-hmm. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah. You have a variety of different people that do that kind of stuff. You know, I even have said, throw the camera away and use your cell phone for a week or two just to see what happens. Because just in that small change, you'll notice things so differently through your eye. And your viewpoint will be different, and you will start to approach things in a different angle. And then that different angle will then morph into how you use your camera. So I think, you know, doing all of these different things, I mean, you know, getting a Polaroid, getting a Holga camera, playing with all of these different things makes you a more well-rounded person. And I think that that benefits any creator.
Now, like, I'll give you an example. I'm sure you know the actor Tom Hardy is, right? Mm-hmm. Who's in Mad Max Fury Road. He'll talk about, because he's done everything, because he'll talk about, he went and did a romantic comedy just to get the experience. Like, I hate it, I'm never doing another one.
I can't imagine him doing that.
Yeah, would you do, I mean, for you, would you, I mean, are you up to try anything at
least once? Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Have you done, I'm not, like, because I'm thinking a lot of your work's, like, editorial and just personal, but have you done much creative, I mean, commercial work?
No, I haven't. I feel like a lot of the imagery that I do has a commercial mood to it. It's got a commercial feel based upon crops. That's more than anything. It's based upon cropping. And sometimes the edit within itself, the actual digital edit. But really, I think that's where the commercial is in mine. I'm more of a, I won't say a fine art artist, but I'm a gallery artist, if that. I would love to do magazines. I think that would be really great. But I, so far, up until this point, I've had the privilege of being able to create just for myself. I haven't had to create within the parameters of anybody else's needs. And that's what commercial work is. So eventually that will come to play, I'm sure. But right now I'm having such a good time just creating.
All right, now I want to just segue out of talking about modeling and photography. And because last time I talked to you here, because you're clearly like a music fan, you clearly like movies. So I just want to kind of just drift away from that and just ask you about movies right now. What I want to ask you is like, what have been some of your favorite movies you've seen recently?
Oh man, the movie guy's asking me movie questions. Oh jeez.
Like something that you kind of discovered or anything like that. What's kind of been like. If it's at all influencing your photography.
Well, I'll be really honest. Just recently, I've gone back to an actor and some of his films that I've really loved. Vincent D'Onofrio has a couple films that I really, really like. And one of them is by the name of Whole Wide World. That was one. I think he, in that movie, if I'm not mistaken, it was Robert Heinlein. He was portraying the author in this particular movie. It was a really, really beautiful film. It was really well acted, and I loved his character. The other movie that I really enjoyed him in was a movie by the name of Happy Accidents. And that's a kind of a romantic comedy also. But I've gone back and I started to watch those two films, and I'm struck by how much I like him as an actor. Tom Hardy's another one that has been a big surprise for me that I really love. I saw Lawless. Really dope, that film. The music in that film, the Nick Cave music and the Tom Hardy's acting, and that is a really great film. I think I've watched that now 4 times. Can't get enough of that.
The one you brought up wasn't Robert Heinlein, was Robert E. Howard.
Thank you.
But I do want to bring that one up because that one was a... How did you feel being... Because you are a creative person, because it does kind of detail Robert E. Howard's life. Because this is also something I feel sometimes doesn't really get brought up. Because a lot of times I tend to stay away from like personal questions in terms of just like what you do this summer. So like I don't care about that. Like that's what you get on like most daytime talk shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. They do everything except talk about the actual art, at least I feel. But how did you feel as a creative person, the role that he played as Robert E. Howard, because it was kind of like he spent like all of his time with his work, and then it kind of collided with his personal life. Mm-hmm. How did that kind of feel to you, and is that ever something that's hard for you to strike a balance between?
It felt very accurate to me because I've known a lot of people that are like that are sort of, they're in between their creative headspace and the rest of the world. And those two things don't necessarily always mesh. That they are fascinating people that think just a little bit differently than everybody else. And I think that's why those people are remarkable and noteworthy, and that others want to know more about them. And I think that's why that film specifically was so great, was he had the ability to accurately portray that sense of almost torture of knowing who you are and being completely comfortable with that and having to perhaps acquiesce and change yourself a bit in order to get along with everybody else. I think that is a fascinating dichotomy of fighting against who you are versus who everybody else hopes that you will be.
Now I'll ask you about music. Is there any specific music you like to edit to, or like just that just inspires you or gets your creative juices like flowing?
So I would say this, in editing, because you had asked about editing, it usually would be something not very distracting. So usually something with few vocals would probably be the case with editing, because I'm so focused on what I'm doing and I don't need the mental distraction. When it comes to taking the photographs, oh boy, that can be all across the board. I mean, it can be, I've played punk music, I've played very hard rock, I've played easy listening, like I said, I've played different kinds of alternative and techno. It's just anybody's guess what might come up at that time. But I will say that typically whenever I'm shooting, the mood that is playing fits the feel of that set or that session at that time.
I want to know what you played for the one. It was, I think I have the title right. I might be wrong. I think it was the last set you put. I think it was called like We Used to Meet Behind the Bleachers.
Yeah. That one actually was very, very silent because I was outside and I borrowed a friend's car and I had to be kind of quick about getting these shots done. So that was one of these where it was sort of like I had done a meditation the day before on everything that I was going to do. I had my mental storyboard all laid out. I knew I needed this one, this one, this one, and this one. And I just lit at it. I think I spent an hour and a half on that one and I got it. So there was no time for music. I would say if I had music on there, I would say it would probably have to be something, I would guess it would probably be Iggy Pop music, if I think about it correctly. Something that would be really loud and intense and kind of in your face and very sexual. That would probably be what it was. Probably be Iggy Pop for that one, if I would have played music.
I don't want to say because, like, I like the other ones, but I think, like, narratively, that's kind of, that might be my favorite.
But behind the bleachers?
Yeah, also because it's, like, because it's in the black and white, and it reminds me of old movies and stuff, and I just really like that one. Plus, I mean, you're, like, in a leather jacket, and you look, like, awesome in a leather jacket, which I want to give you props on, because not everybody can put on a leather jacket and look cool in it. Like it was kind of, like, going back to, I mean, because I also kind of feel that with, like, some photographers or some models, it's just about finding the right combination and, like, knowing who works with each other. Because, mm-hmm. like, Robert De Niro is never better than when he works with Martin Scorsese. And it just kind of works. It just kind of works. Sure. They know how to bring that out of each other. So what I want to ask you right now, my last question I want to ask you right now is, given the opportunity to photograph any person living or dead, who would you choose?
Oh, man, you just recently, some time ago, you did it in an interview and they nailed my answer, and it was Jim Morrison. That was fun. So if I were to say an answer that somebody else hasn't given, Grace Jones.
For people interested in your work, would like to learn more about you, where can they go?
My website is the best place to go. That's www.natasha007.com, NATASSIA007.com. In there, I try to change things up frequently, put up new stuff, show a lot of the older stuff. There's modeling images up there as well, because I feel like it's important to show that I'm well-rounded. I'm not just a self-portrait artist. Any information that you want can be found there.
And before we go, do you have any shout-outs?
Not really. Just hello to everybody that I have worked with, that I've had the good fortune of meeting, who have chosen to interact and engage with me on creative levels. Hello to everybody in that respect.